It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
This is where Boston sports fans start their day.
Oh, now, focus.
With Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub, no!
It's the Bankroll Boys.
Does that count?
Yep.
With Joey Bag of Money.
And the other.
Okay. Get help today.
And Fist of Cash in the chat.
.985 to Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. The Bankroll Boys, now sponsor. Bankroll Boys Dan Lifschatz and Joe Murray are brought to you by DraftKings. Download DraftKings now and use code SportsHub during the sign-up to get a deposit bonus of up to 500 buckaroonies. Minimum $5 deposit required. Deposit bonus requires 25-time playthrough. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Gentlemen, how has it been?
Things have been very good.
Really? You made a big market tease on Twitter last night.
We did. So I know
this is for the Over Under 98.5 podcast.
It is no longer the podcast. We will still do the Over Under 98.5 podcast,
Dan. Once a week. Yep. Mm-hmm.
The long-awaited announcement is we will be now bringing a live show to 98.5 The Sports on Saturday mornings at 7 a.m. Sponsored by DraftKings.
Very nice. So this is Saturday from when to when?
It's going to be this Saturday. It's going to be for an hour at first, and then we'll see where it goes. But it's going to begin this Saturday.
It's right after Tomatoes guy, right?
I think he's gone.
He's okay. Out. Tomatoes guy. Exactly. He's not here anymore.
Congratulations, Joe. So. He bought an island.
You bumped out the Tomatoes guy? No. You're taking his spot?
No, Tomatoes guy quit. Tomatoes guy bought an island in the Caribbean. Growing his own tomatoes.
No, but this is huge, guys. You guys have supported us for years, so I can't thank you enough. But live sports talk in Boston, like it hasn't happened here before.
Well, live sports talk in Boston happens every day.
I mean,
on this station.
Live sports betting.
Oh, sports betting talk. Okay,
finally.
And we need it. I know you got to wake up early, but like when I was in Vegas 2 weeks back. Like, these guys are up at 4 in the morning looking at who's coming through the ticket window and where the big money's at and things of that degree. So, you know, we're going to have the lines. We're going to be breaking down college basketball right now, and we got 2 weeks of football talk as well. So I'll begin this Saturday at 7 a.m.
Excellent. And the other thing is, well, it'll be podcasting. You know, we'll make it so if you can't wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday, you know, it'll be available for you in some sort of version. But we'd obviously prefer if you, you know, listen live.
Excellent. Well, congratulations. It's been a long time coming, gentlemen. Congratulations. I like to think of us as like the Larry David to your Seinfelds. Like, yeah. We were kind of, you know, we put you out there. You
no,
know?
No, really. Seriously. Agreed, yeah. We can't thank you guys enough. And, you know, we're backed by DraftKings now, who has a great app, and it's real easy to use. If you're in New Hampshire, you can even drive if you live in Massachusetts.
There'll be plenty of plugging time on your show.
I mean, we've plugged an awful lot already today. We've plugged an awful lot.
I know you're very happy you have a sponsor, but you know, they...
Let's relax.
There you go. All right, so give us some lines. Give us some insider
all right,
tips.
So here we are.
All I know is the Wrangle was in full effect last night.
Let's talk about this Wrangle situation. It's not only the NFL... There is an NBA wrangle.
Well, that's like the number one wrangle, right? Didn't it start with the NBA?
It started with the NBA.
What is the wrangle again for our new listeners?
So basically what happens is there's a ref angle. We believe that there's a couple of sports that are shady at best when it comes to the reffing. And so because of that, we believe that the refs heavily influence the outcomes of the games. And I believe last year in the NBA playoffs, the wrangle hit about 75-76% in the playoffs last year over, the longevity, which is a lot.
Yeah, that's a lot. What I would do is if you're on Twitter, at NBA Ref Stats,
yep.
Every day they put out statistics of refs and what they do in each game. So last night was the Sixers and Raptors in Zarba. Toronto has won 13 straight games, whether him or Leon Wood have been involved, and it went 14. And then the other ref in the New Orleans game last night, which had no business going over the total, but Zion Williamson hit 17 points in 4 minutes.
Yeah, it was awesome.
4 minutes. It was outstanding. That game had no business. It was 110 points at halftime, and it went over 237 for the game.
And that's
a wrangle. Like, that game had no wrangle. Business.
No business going that high. All right, so where can people go for that again?
At official NBA refs if you want those statistics.
Okay, so, and you play by those?
I do, yeah, and at NBA ref stats as well as another one, but.
Yeah, I mean, Zarba was a big playoff guy last year. So we did our own research during the playoffs because they don't put the things out every single day. But, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of these guys. And Tim Donaghy has literally said it on other podcasts and other shows saying that refs do not like certain teams. He said it. I mean, he said that, that refs will favor certain teams, and he knows guys in the NBA will do that right now. So this is not breaking news or anything. This is, it happens in the NBA. It happens in every sport.
All right. Well, I know that there was – who's the one guy who hated Doc Rivers? Because there was a rumor that Doc Rivers had, called him some sort of, slur or whatever like that. I forget what it was. But that was the – I think the wrangle was in full effect.
And just
there.
One more thing about the wrangle. NFC Championship game, Cleet Blakeman was the ref. And we took Seattle because of the wrangle. The line was 4.5. They were playing the Packers – which is another wrangle-type team. The game ended at 5 points.
On that interesting first down call.
Questionable first down.
Wrangle.
And if you remember, the refs went back and said, after some extra footage,
which we never received.
Never heard in my life.
We've never received.
An official say that. So, the wrangle, at least it's close. And it's something that we've done now for almost a year and a half. And
Cleet Blakeman, his name coming up a lot.
All the time. The wrangle.
All right. So let's talk about this. Let's talk about college basketball because this is where Lifshatz shines. Now, Lifshatz, do you think the Big 12, by what the suspension that they handed down, was because they obviously won Kansas in the tournament, correct?
The main guy got 12 games. I think there was three other players that got 3 games.
Just in time for the Big 12 tournament.
Yeah, it brings him back in time for the Big 12
tournament.
Wouldn't
you know it, there's a sub-regional in Omaha this year.
Yeah.
Give Kansas that number one seed.
Yeah, I mean, that's not much of a surprise. They probably don't want to get rid of, one of their best teams and one of their highest-rated local teams, especially if they're going to be playing in the tournament. They're good enough to make it, above 500 until then. They're not playing a ridiculously tough schedule, so they've cleared a lot of their tough opponents already. So, yeah, I mean, they clearly made the suspension line up exactly with that for a reason. They don't want the kid to miss the tournament, obviously, and because of that, they want Kansas to have a chance to win that tournament and become a higher seed and get into that side of the bracket.
All right. I want to take a look at the Super Bowl matchup now that you guys have seen the odds move a little bit. I mean, I think they've kind of moved just a tad, right? Like a half point. What's the current odds or right now the spread on that game?
I haven't seen any movement at all on it. The Chiefs are still -1.5. I guess some places it's 1, but I mean, we're talking about almost no difference. I mean, it's essentially a pick 'em. I mean, to me, the only movement has been on the total. It opened at 52 and it's up to 54, so it got hit. By everyone. Everyone's been on the over so far. I think I saw a couple bookmakers say they wrote their first under tickets yesterday for the entire Super Bowl, which, again, it's not for another week and a half, but still, that's ridiculous. And so everyone's on the over.
Okay, so they've got right now, the props have come out for the Super Bowl, and I just want to get to some of the bigger ones.
The first ones being the MVP right now. Patrick Mahomes is favored at plus 130. Garoppolo at plus 275. And then the next three are interesting because I'm wondering if you're thinking value in these guys. Raheem Mostert, the guy who scored four touchdowns in that NFC Championship game, he's at 550. Travis Kelce at 1600. And Tyreek Hill at 1600. Is there any kind of value that you see here? Where would you put your money?
The only value I'd possibly see on the board there, if you really want to go Super Bowl MVP, I mean, if you're looking for someone outside of a quarterback, is probably Hill. I don't think
you think they would give the MVP to a guy who beat his wife.
I see. I don't think so.
I did. We did our players card that you'll hear, and I gave Tyreek Hill as the MVP. I feel like they'd give it to Mahomes in that case, but you've seen Julian Edelman, Deion Branch, you've seen wide receivers in this spot. I'll give you a couple other names.
But not a guy. I just don't see some of the people giving an MVP to somebody.
It would not
somebody.
Be a good look.
It would be an awful look if to a guy who ended up, you know, was beating
unless he is
a
so
woman.
Thoroughly dominating, you can't
was
avoid
he
it.
Was he beating his wife or did he break his kid's arm?
Broke his kid's arm.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I'm sorry. How dare I get those mixed up? I'm getting him and Kareem Hunt, I think, mixed up.
Right.
It's kind of easy to do.
Maybe he makes an impact in the kicking game. I don't know. So he's a guy, though. There's value there. George Kittle is like plus 2,000. The guys that I would look at is Emmanuel Sanders at plus 6,600, right? He's a guy that probably could have a big game if Jimmy Garoppolo.
Nothing in that.
Been quiet. And then I know you guys mentioned Mostert. Matt Breida did nothing in the last game, and I feel like they might hone in on him a little bit more.
Yeah.
Matt Breida didn't play much. That could be a steal of plus 6,600 if the 49ers can win that.
Okay, here's an interesting one. Jimmy Garoppolo passing yards. They've got the over-under at 239.5.
Too high. Way too high.
See, that's what immediately it makes you think it's got to be lower.
What are the Sharps doing?
By the way, they're absolutely hitting the over.
Yeah.
That open low. Again, John, think about it like this. They're opening at 239. Or they're opening, I think it was like 235-ish, whatever. They're opening for a reason. They want you to take the under. You've seen what Jimmy Garoppolo has done the past few games. So they're obviously laying that line, expecting money on the under.
Okay, what about Patrick Mahomes? Because they have it at 304. That's an over, isn't it?
So the Chiefs have covered, I believe, 8 straight games or something to that degree.
They're 9-3-1 in their last 12 against the spread. I know that.
So I looked at a couple of wagers, just what's coming in. New Jersey took a $680,000 bet on the 49ers plus 2. So the 49ers getting a lot of love on the money line. But in Vegas, there was a $100,000 money line on the 49ers. The over is at $100,000 bet in Vegas so far, and this is just early in the week. Let's see what happens. But a lot of love for the 49ers right now. To me, I just think the Chiefs are playing so well. But that 49ers deal, what's won championships for you the last couple of years?
Yeah.
And I know that the Patriots had that shootout with the Eagles, but it still came down to a defensive play in the end. I feel like defense has been winning, and the 49ers are the better D.
Do you guys bet on the Pro Bowl at all?
No, but just I used wonder, to bet the over.
Oh, come on. I know you do.
Does anyone bet on the Pro Bowl? Guys like you, stay away from
there
that?
There are definitely people who bet on the Pro Bowl. It's just not me. Joe, have you ever bet on
it? I have bet on it. Yeah, okay. The total right now is 49.5. My thing is, who cares?
Exactly.
They're not going to play defense, so we might as well bet the over anyway.
Actually, defense has been big the last 3 years. I was just looking at it.
I bet the NBA All-Star game every year. And this weekend is the NHL All-Star Game. And the skills competition is something fun to bet on if you get that. I actually haven't looked at it much. But, yeah, the Pro Bowl, it's over or nothing. You don't even bet anything else. And then there is the All-Star Game this weekend, which, I don't know, the Metropolitan and all those. I don't know how they play.
They do with the 3-on-3 tournament and everything.
But there is value. People do like the skills.
All right, let's get down to business. Where are you at, Rich?
You got some I'm at plus 255. So do you got a degenerate special for me? Give me something degenerate.
I got
one for tonight. Okay. Belmont takes on Murray State.
That's actually not that crazy.
both teams, I believe, are 12-5. Two good teams that make the tournament every year. Right now, it's a pick 'em. It's at home. I like Murray State. Also, I saw that the Bryant Bulldogs were 9-point favorites tonight
against Wagner.
Wagner's
5-12.
Seen a lot of money on Bryant tonight.
Again. I bet against Bryant before and
lost everything.
I know.
Want to roll the dice again? Do you?
I don't like either of those bets. So what?
Morant went to. went to Murray State.
I got one for you as well.
Come on, Lifshatz.
All right, Grand Canyon is facing Seattle tonight.
See, that's my language.
Head coach of Grand Canyon, Dan Marley.
Head coach at Grand Canyon.
In the whack. Grand Canyon has been terrible this year. They're 7-11 so far. They're facing Seattle, who is 10-10. Not a great
Grand
team.
Grand Canyon's that weird university that advertises on TV.
Yeah. They get crazy amounts of fans. They have a massive home advantage in college basketball, which is wild for one of these small schools.
All right.
They're a 2-point favorite tonight. I'm laying the points with Grand Canyon minus -2. I like them to beat Seattle in a conference
game. Bet Grand Canyon.
Let's put two big ones on it. Let's go.
And just one final thing. The Royal Rumble is this weekend, WWE. Oh,
okay.
Roman Reigns. He is the favorite this week.
He's a sure winner.
He's so macabre.
I'm going Kevin Owens 7-1 on.
Yeah, I like that language.
Violence. I love violence.
Over under on blood. How many people are bleeding at the end?
We might have a wrestling fart court later on.
I don't mean to blow the excitement.
No pun intended.
Let's save it for tomorrow.
Okay, all right. Because at 8 o'clock, we do have a Brookline.
Yeah, we have all the trades.
Oh, sweet. All right.
Brookline 911.
Guys, thank you very much for
everything. Hey,
congratulations, guys.
Congratulations. All right. Speaking of Grand Canyon State, which is a weird religious school that advertises on TV, Aaron Rodgers is going to get a lot of stupid people mad at him. We will tell you why in just a moment.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Five to Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Aaron Rodgers does not speak to his family. He comes off very bad in those insurance commercials, in my opinion. They just like kick his agent who is responsible for negotiating his contracts and his endorsement deals. So really, the agent would be responsible for the whole State Farm pairing it in general. So he kicks the agent out of the car. He just like kicks him out. All the guy wants to do is have him, you know, go through a yellow light. So Aaron Rodgers does not come off well, but he's dating Danica Patrick for some reason. There's always like something weird going on, like dating Danica Patrick.
Do you not consider her attractive at all?
She's fine. I just don't know why, out of all the women in the world, that you would choose Danica Patrick. I mean, she seems to have dated a lot of famous people.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know why, like, all these famous people are somehow drawn to Danica Patrick. Perhaps she's...
Chick that drives fast.
Yeah, but, you know, maybe she's, you know, like a female Burt Reynolds. But she has a podcast.
Really?
And somehow... Well, her and... Yes, imagine that. That seems to be an issue with podcasts in that there are every single person on the planet has one.
Why would she have I'm sorry, I don't mean to derail this, but why would she have a podcast?
Because, no joke, I think if you've ever done anything in your life, you have a podcast, they just go, hey, why don't you do it? It's once a week, okay, and let's throw it against the wall.
Okay.
But she somehow got on Aaron Rodgers as a guest, and there's some things that are perfectly rational, perfectly fine, but when you say them, the blowback. Not probably from people here, but it's going to get annoying for him.
Most people that I knew, church was just, you just had to go. Your parents made you go, you wake up, you put some clothes on, you go.
So you understand that's Aaron Rodgers, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And he's talking about church.
Most people that I knew, church was just, you just had to go. Your parents made you go, you wake up, you put some clothes on, you go, and you can't wait to get back and watch the second game of the day in the NFL on TV. But I started going to Young Life, and that's where I met Matt Hawk, who you know, Matt. And Matt was leading our Young Life group there for a while, and he was the first Christian that I met where I was like, man, like, this dude, like, swears every now and then. He loves sports. He, like, coaches sports. He's, like, you know, he's an awesome dude. Like, he's just a really rad guy to be around. I kind of like, you know, the way that he talks about Jesus and the way that he talks about what it means to have a relationship with Christ. Like, that's pretty cool. So I enjoyed my time with Young Life. We did some amazing outreach stuff. You know, we went to Mexico during two spring breaks and built houses in outside Tijuana, rough areas.
You were religious and now you're spiritual?
I think both can work for people. I do. I think some people just need structure and they need tradition and stuff, and that works for them. And I don't have a problem with it. It doesn't resonate with me.
Yeah.
I had two groups I was going to. I was going to church on Sundays and then to Young Life on Mondays. And Young Life on Monday welcomed everyone. You know, it's like,
right. Come
as you are. Be there at 7:29.
Yep.
And, like, be ready for some fun. And it was fun. And we had a great time. Church on Sundays was like more, you know, make sure you dress a certain way and don't bring that person. And this person's going to get looked at strangely if they show up. And
yeah.
I think, you know, again, it's very black and white, binary in binary sense, but I don't think it's very welcoming. Religion can be a crutch, can be a... can be something that people have to have to make themselves feel better. And because it's set up binary, it's us and them. It's saved and unsaved. It's heaven and hell. And I think that makes a lot of people feel better about themselves. Is that, I got Jesus and, you know, I'm saved and I'm going to heaven. And there's only 144,000 of us going, even though there's 7 billion people on the planet. And, you know, I don't know how you can believe in a God who wants to condemn most of the planet, you know, to a fiery hell. Like, what type of loving, sensitive, omnipresent, omnipotent being wants to condemn most of his beautiful creation to a fiery hell?
Okay, so I agree with everything he said. I think it's completely rational. It's almost my entire thought process when it comes to religion. Do you know what the headline of the three articles that I read about it or that I looked at was?
Aaron Rodgers says that religion is exclusionary.
No, that would be a good headline.
Yeah,
Aaron Rodgers says he doesn't believe in God. It's what the headline says. So when you because everyone, you know, I took a lot of time to listen to those comments. So because people don't read articles anymore, or they won't take the time to listen to what he had to say, which, again, was completely rational, and I agree with everything that he said. I'm not a fan of organized religion, but I do believe in a higher power. Now, when people see the headline, Aaron Rodgers doesn't believe in God, can you imagine the crap that he's going to get? Now, not crap in the sense that he's going to lose sponsors and things like that. Crap in terms of, like, people that are going to just be bothering him and proselytizing to him, and just the amount of garbage he's going to have to listen to.
Well, it's also people are going to use Aaron Rodgers' alleged take as a platform for their jumping off point, if you understand what I'm saying. It's a way to say, this guy says this, clearly he's wrong. What I believe in is that, and I hope you all follow me in my beliefs. But, you know what I'm saying?
Well, no,
it's a way to get yourself noticed.
They're going to say that Aaron Rodgers is godless, and they're going to bother him. They're going to, everywhere he goes, they're going to bother him. He's going to be brought up in church services, and he's going to have Bibles sent to him.
No, I agree.
Oh, no, it's going to happen.
I agree with that.
There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. The headline is Aaron Rodgers doesn't believe in God. Because what? He didn't like church? Because he disagrees with the teachings of Christianity?
Honestly, if anyone took the time to listen to that, and how long was that? A minute and a half?
2.5 minutes.
Okay, 2.5 minutes. Anyone listens to 30 or 40 seconds of that realizes that he's not a wingnut. That was a very well thought out argument. And he used comparisons. I have a direct comparison. I went to church on Sunday. And by the way, he said he went to church on Sunday. So it's not like he doesn't have knowledge of this.
Right.
And how the process works. But he compared it to something he enjoyed more on Monday.
Well, no, and then he questioned the using logic. He questioned the
there's logic involved. He's coming from a place of knowledge.
No, he's coming from a place of personal belief, and that's fine. But as I have experienced in my own life, to a lesser degree, people do not like that. No, 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 no. And he is a national figure. And when people in the South get a hold of that, ooh, doggy. I used to have Bibles sent to me at the radio station in Atlanta. Holy moly, is it annoying. So he just walked into a whole load of annoying. Like, I mean, again, it's not anything that's going to cost him money or sponsorships or he's going to be told by the team not to talk about. It's nothing that he said that was not. I agree with everything he said. He has exactly almost the exact same take on religion as I do. And something actually happened yesterday with one of my children that was exceptionally exclusionary, which made my daughter leave school. So she was told that she was going to be going to hell by someone. So it's so funny that just happened. And so we had to have this I had to have this conversation with my daughter yesterday. You're not going to be going to hell. You know what? Sometimes religion, and based on my experiences with an interfaith marriage, sometimes it creates a little bit of a schism. And believe me, it can be exclusionary. Believe me, it can be exclusionary. I mean, it is. I mean, there's no doubt about it. That's exactly the nature of it. But I cannot, John, you cannot even fathom how annoying it's going to be for him. And now until the end of his career. The headline said Aaron Rodgers doesn't believe in God. And then even if they dig and hear what he said, like dig, not like, hey, dig, but dig in and find out what he actually said, they're going to not like it still. So good for him to talk, but oh, boy. Coming from experience, I can tell you that is annoying. Annoying. And so don't send me Bibles. I don't want them. Please. I know where to get them.
He needs a little religion because he's such a jerk to his State Farm agent.
Well, we already discussed that.
Total a-hole.
Yeah. Well, we've already discussed that. That's not a good marketing campaign.
Well, it is because we're talking about it. Team State Farm. That's what I am. Team agent on this.
No, the agent's not the State Farm agent.
Oh, I'm sorry. Team, like, guy, his
State
football
Farm,
agent.
State Farm looks bad.
Yeah, because their agent's kind of a jerk to him, too.
Yeah, well, he just sits back condescendingly looking at him.
Well, it was like that one point where he's like, hey, fist bump, hey. And he goes to that woman, and they're like, no. I'm like, why are you leaving him hanging like that?
Just give him a sympathy fist bump. You got to fist bump someone.
He's obviously doing something right if he's got both Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers on his roster. I mean, they've made a lot of money. I don't know if you realize that.
I don't know. I don't think that your people you represent should be treated like that. Get new representation.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Brookline 911, perhaps there is exclusionary religion involved in that. Do you know what we just did? We played Aaron Rodgers. He had a perfectly reasonable take on religion, and the headline of the two or three articles I saw was Aaron Rodgers says he doesn't believe in God.
You see, I've not heard the clip, and I'm sorry I had to edit it.
No, there is nothing in there that says he doesn't. He says he doesn't follow a traditional religion.
A very thoughtful take by Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, he does not
massively overlooked.
And so, Rich, when people see that, you lived in Kennesaw, Georgia. What are people going to do to Aaron Rodgers?
I mean, they're going to send him Bibles.
And they're going to annoy the hell out of him.
Yeah. But then again, I don't mind it because it's Aaron Rodgers and I hate him.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, bug him all you want.
Give religious nuts. They're going to, like, hand him stuff at games and have signs. Ugh. All right. Well, especially with the popularity of the Danica Patrick podcast. All right, here are the headlines.
Sports Hub headlines.
.985 to Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. All right, Rich, what's going on?
All right, out of all the weird stuff going on, this might be one of my favorite stories that we've had this week. I'll just read you straight from the report because it reads like a bestseller. Chris Greenwald took his boy Brandon to the Wells Fargo Center one night in November to meet the most famous person on the Philadelphia Flyers payroll, Gritty. Of course, Gritty's that mascot with the big googly eyes that was a sensation. He goes, the Flyers had invited Greenwald and his 13-year-old son to get a photo and some FaceTime with the fuzzy googly-eyed mascot, all part of an exclusive event for season ticket holders. But after waiting in line for about an hour behind dozens of fans to get to Gritty, something shocking happened, according to Greenwell. Gritty punched Brandon in the back, Greenwell claims. In Greenwell's telling, Brandon playfully patted the mascot on the head after the photo was taken. As Brandon walked away, Gritty got out of his chair, quote, took a running start, and punched my son as hard as he could, said Greenwell. Officials at the Comcast Center said that the company that owns the Flyers said that Greenwell, to Greenwell's accusation, there is no video footage of the incident because the, quote, cameras in that area of the center are focused on other locations.
Oh, how convenient.
I know.
Knowing the temper of the gentleman in the costume.
Greenwell said he took his son to see a chiropractor about a week after the incident.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Chiropractor noted that Brandon suffered from mild pain and was diagnosed with a back bruise or a contusion to lower thoracic spine with subluxation.
Ah, the old chiropractor.
Thoracic spine, very dangerous place.
John goes to those voodoo doctors.
I do.
So about a month after the alleged punch, the Comcast Spectator, who owns them, and Greenwell couldn't come to an agreement, and Greenwell reported the incident to the Philadelphia police. So they're describing the case as a physical assault that was during the photo shoot. They said the investigation is ongoing. They said he's dumping a season ticket after 22 years. After the alleged punch, Greenwell emailed officials at the Comcast Spectator, first complaining of, quote, the lousy picture with the mascot who didn't look at the camera. Then he raised the more serious and disappointing concern. I know it was not correct for my son to harmlessly tap him on the head, but for a Flyers employee to throw a punch at someone with his back turned and hurt a 13-year-old boy is assault, unprofessional, and unacceptable for your organization. So it goes on down.
Okay, all right. Hang on. Right before you get to that, I have a couple concerns with this.
Sure.
One, why are you and a 13-year-old kid waiting an hour to get your picture taken with a mascot?
Excellent question.
That's fishy. Like, everyone's that dumb, they just want a picture with the mascot?
I mean, it is Gritty, after all.
Hey, you're a season ticket holder. You spent $10,000 on your seats. Here, you get to spend an hour to take a picture with the dumb mascot.
But there's the best part of it. It's buried at the bottom of the article. It says, Philadelphia mascots are no strangers to altercations or physical attacks. The Philly Fanatic was dubbed, quote,
Bird,
the most sued mascot in the majors in a 2002 study published in the Law Review. Claims against the Fanatic have ranged from injuring a woman's knees while climbing through the stands to hugging someone too hard, the Inquirer has reported.
So I
just want, real quick, I need a phoner.
Okay.
617-779-0985. Has a mascot ever been a dick to you?
Has Wally gotten too frisky?
So Wally, okay, there was one incident. Now, it wasn't anything like this. He didn't punch anybody. But for years with the Miracle League, we were trying to build that handicap accessible field, and we kept going to the Red Sox Foundation, and like we had these big presentations, like hours worth of like presentations that we did and all this stuff, and never anything. And then I think eventually years later, they gave us like $1,000 as a go away type thing. I mean, you have to understand, the Miracle League, like in most cities, the baseball team in that city pays for almost all of it. It's the Arizona Diamondbacks Miracle League field, and they like wouldn't give us anything.
I don't believe in miracles, only science.
Yes. So at the grand opening of the brand new field that we had built, I called the Red Sox and I was like, "Hey, listen, can we just at least have Wally come out there? The kids might want to meet Wally." And they said, "Sure, for X amount of dollars." And I went, "You got to be kidding me!" So finally, I was like, "All right, we want to make this extra special. I'll pay you a ridiculous amount of money to have Wally come out to the Miracle League field." So sure enough, the grand opening, Wally's there, and he's like, you know, like waving to the kids and stuff like that. So it gets to be the picture for the paper, and it's like the heads of the Miracle League and a couple of the kids, and Wally starts to try to work his way into the picture. I'm like, "You get no credit." And I'm like, "You leave. You have nothing. Red Sox got nothing to do with this. We paid your ass." So I was like, I didn't, of course, touch him, but I was like, "Get out of the picture." So yeah, I just don't know if this is a normal thing, because you hear this happen all the time.
It's litigious at Disney, people.
Or
why even have a mascot? Why even have a public event? I mean, that's all people are going to do is complain.
Somebody said, having been a mascot for Disney, this is totally justified. Now, that I've heard. Like, there are apparently reports all the time. Like, or have you ever been a mascot and had, you know, people, you know, abuse you in a way? Because I know that in
Disney. And by the way, if you get hit, why are you going to a chiropractor?
Because you hurt your back.
No. You go to a doctor, like a chiropractor. Like, what are you going to go to court and go, like, "Hey, look, the chiropractor said this"?
I guess that's what happened right there.
Doesn't that seem like you probably more than likely get it? Be more likely to get a much more severe sounding injury report than if you went to a doctor?
A little bit. I've told you about that one mascot that's up for the Portland Sea Dogs. That when I first saw it, I was like, what the hell's going on? This thing came walking out between innings, and it just like had this gigantic mouth and these, once again, googly, crazy eyes. And people just started pelting him in the face with half full, like, soda, like things, and like throwing food in his face. I'm like, what are they doing to this poor guy? And then I realized he's the Portland Sea Dogs trash monster. And his mouth is a giant trash can in which, but still.
My
that
mouth
doesn't
is a
mean
giant
that that half full Coke isn't smashing the guy in the face.
My mouth is something giant for something else. A foot. Patrick, go ahead.
So I had a friend. We were at the Norfolk Tides game. That's where I went to college. He's petrified of clowns, and they had a clown roaming the stands. And the first time that he came around the corner, my buddy dropped his beer, screamed, ran away. And the clown followed him for the entire nine innings. He found where he was, came into the bathroom with him. He stood behind him in line while he's getting new beers. Literally, it was almost like it. And he didn't go to a Tides game ever again.
Okay, was that like...
I want to hang out with that clown.
Hang on. Was that... But did it... Because cognitive behavioral therapy is if you have a fear, you expose yourself to it, and then the fear kind of goes away. Your friend still was petrified of clowns at the end of that?
More so. The guy honestly wouldn't leave him alone. He stopped handing out balloons. He literally just followed him around the park.
Well, the best would be if he just tried to hand him a balloon all the time. Now, did he ever bring...
what he did. He came up to like an olive branch. He came down with a balloon, and he ran away and then went to go get beers in a completely different side of the park. And behind him in line was the clown. The clown literally followed him from end to end. So he wasn't really a mascot, but I don't know what they paid him that day, but I would have paid him three times as much.
Now, were you just delighted the entire time?
Oh, I've never laughed so hard in my life.
All right, well, thank you.
No, he won't go to baseball games anymore.
Well, that is the opposite of what... Well, I guess it's if they're following you and scaring you the entire time, it wouldn't work. Because usually if you're exposed to something, the idea is that you would... It would no longer bother.
Now, I don't know if this is true, but someone said, I witnessed Chuck E. Cheese facepalm a kid in Everett once, but it was in Everett, so the kid probably deserved it. Now, I do know that Chuck E. Cheese has nothing to do with the characters themselves. I mean, like, once a month, there's like a story that comes out about a fight at a Chuck E. Cheese.
Because parents are insane, and they act like going to Chuck E. Cheese is, you know, taking the kids to Disney World.
Somebody said, I was forced to be a mascot for my high school football team as a punishment at 15, and a grown man shoved me to the ground because I wasn't pumped up enough. I broke my elbow.
Yeah, there's no question. I don't doubt that for a second. All right, we will be right back.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub. You know what?
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. We are just moments away from Brookline 911. Do you have any more mascot stuff there, Richard?
Yeah, so, I mean, there's people calling in with a couple of them, but, I mean, it's like the story is that Gritty had a picture taken, the Philadelphia Flyers mascot that, of course, has the googly eyes and everyone's crazy about, and this 13-year-old kid and his dad waited in line for an hour, according to reports. The boy, like, patted Gritty on the head, you know, as he was leaving. He said it wasn't very hard, and then Gritty got pissed and ran full speed and punched the kid in the back as hard as he could. Right. According to reports, there's no video or anything to back it up.
I highly doubt that happened.
But I do know that it is true. There's two sides of this. One, mascots can be dicks sometimes, and we've heard stories about that. And two, when you are a mascot... Like, you're demoralized.
Oh, yeah, they treat you like you're not a human being.
You're not a human being, and then, I mean, there's...
Everyone's all drunk. All right, now, Bird, you were a mascot.
Yes, I dressed up as Arthur for an event.
But like the aardvark?
Arthur, the...
Or the lovable drunk.
Dudley Moore character, yeah.
Because all kids love the lovable drunk.
He drove around.
Who doesn't love Dudley Moore?
Yeah, he just drove around in a Rolls Royce going, yeah! So, right, wait. So when you were Arthur, were you treated with respect?
Yeah, throughout most of the event. But then towards the end of the event, this one kid would just not leave me alone. He's like grabbing my hand. I'm walking with him like, all right, cool, whatever. And then he just would not let go of my hand. I sit down and the kids want to sit down with me and take pictures. And this kid would not leave my side. He's legit pushing kids out of the way to sit on my lap for the entire rest of the show, event. And in my head, I'm going, I'm going to effing kill this kid. Like, get away from
what
me.
What kind of horrible person are you?
Like, dude, get away from me.
How old is this kid?
It had to be at least 9, 10 years old.
At an Arthur party?
Really? Hang on, a 10-year-old kid wants to be with Arthur?
Yes. Maybe eight.
If I showed you a 4-year-old and like a 12-year-old, would you know the difference?
I don't know the difference.
Okay. Yeah, like 8 or 9 is pretty old for Arthur, to be holding hands.
See, I dressed as a sandwich one time, like at Subway, where they had a sandwich that was standing
really,
on the street.
Talk about demoralizing you. They really, Subway put you through the ring.
Oh, they really did. But I wanted to be the sandwich because that meant you didn't have to work. Like, I would much rather be standing outside as the sandwich.
Standing
on the
outside is working.
I mean, but you're not sitting there making sandwiches and people, you do get yelled at a lot, but I mean, you wear a mask. I've seen all the times you get punched in the balls, you do all that stuff. I mean, it happens all the time. And all of the different lawsuits that you see when it comes to like the Disney World stuff, and this stuff is just, I mean, you're completely demoralized once you agree to be a mascot of any way, shape, or form.
Yeah. Yep. Especially, I would guess, at like a baseball game because everyone's all hammered.
I know. We have full phone lines.
I know. Unfortunately, we cannot take the calls. Because we have to go. Now, you were we're going to do Brookline 911 right after the headlines. So Subway went through the expense.
Yep, I was the sandwich. We had a buy one get one free sale one time, and I got to stand out.
Now, was the franchisee given the sandwich for a day, or was that something that you had to go out and get?
I think you were lucky. Like they circled the date on the calendar where you get the sandwich costume.
Okay.
And sure enough, I was out there, and I was, you know, dancing around and flipping around.
Now, you put some effort into it.
Hell yeah, I went all in.
Yeah, if I was dressed as a sandwich, I'm sitting down.
You're going to the bar.
Probably would have been a little young for that, but I would have. I certainly would have been seated during the majority of the time.
There was the one time, listen, having a mascot uniform is kind of fun, though, when you're not working. Because remember that one time I got that, like, on the down low Elmo costume?
Which I can't believe you put on your body.
Which
yes.
I did. I got it from a weird guy in a parking lot in Stoneham in a van. It was like, dude, the steps I had to get for my kid's birthday, an Elmo costume. But I have to be honest, after the party was done, I spent about a good 45 minutes walking down Boylston and digging in trash cans in the Elmo costume just to make myself laugh.
Okay, well, there you go. It's fun.
There's a couple photos of it, too, which I like. It's like, what is Elmo?
Because did anyone offer you money?
No.
Because
I think they just kind of took pictures and, like, fantastic. Stay away from the Elmo digging through the trash.
That's great. In Times Square, they pull it down.
Well, that Elmo's like a racist Elmo. You've heard of the famous racist Elmo of New York,
yes,
right?
Yes.
He's been arrested a few times. He's like wildly anti-Semitic.
The naked cowboy. They got the whole thing going on down there. All right. No commercials here. Just the headlines. And we get to Brookline 911.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's #1 sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gamblinghelplinema.org.